بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، والصلاة والسلام على رسوله وحبيبه أبي القاسم محمد، اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد، وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Brothers and sisters, so I want to continue a little bit about the fourth point, and يحب له ما يحب لنفسه, to love for him what he loves for himself. When you love for your brother or sister what you love for yourself, it means that you do not afford envy or jealousy to take hold in your relationship. You do not let envy or jealousy take hold in your relationship. Because if you love for your brother or your sister what you love for yourself, you will strive to get them to achieve or give them the opportunity or help to find the opportunity for them to enjoy what you are enjoying, to have what you have. And this is a way of social empowerment, empowering each other. Because when you behave like this, what you are doing is you are making your brother or sister rise up and making them self-reliant, making them a force in their environment. This statement also implies a converse meaning, which is you should hate for your brother and sister what you hate for yourself. And this is very important because some of us tend to measure our importance by how much other people don't have what we have. And you feel happy with yourself because in the middle of everybody, you have and other people don't have. And this is a very devilish way of thinking. There's a very interesting statement. I'm sure many of you have heard it. It's called the Golden Rule, the Universal Golden Rule, which means that in every religion, and Islam is the Deen al-Fitra, so what is true in all religions is found in Islam. It says, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And it means also not do unto others that you do not like being done to yourself. And why this is a golden rule, why this is a very profound source of wisdom, is because it goes back to our aql. It goes back to our intellect. And the intellect of a human being is not like what you find mentioned in contemporary or usual society, where you say so-and-so is an intellectual person. The intellect is not how much PhDs you have, or how many books you have written, or how well you are in math. Your intellect, from the point of view of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi, is our inherent ability to distinguish between right and wrong. Our inherent fitri ability to distinguish between right and wrong. Our inherent ability to know what is right and wrong, to know what is good and what is evil. And one of the most fundamental ways by which we can know this is through our own experience. And if you're a healthy person, not an unhealthy person, if you're a healthy person, you would know that what pains you, what hurts you, hurts another person. And what makes you feel happy will make other people feel happy in the general sense of the word. And so therefore you know when you hurt somebody, that means when you oppress somebody, and you know when you do somebody good. And this is why the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alayhi said that the intellect is the inward prophet. It is the hidden prophet. It is the prophet that we have in ourselves. And when we do not listen to our intellect, the voice of our intellect becomes softer and softer and quieter until all we hear is the shouting of our nafs. And this is why you would find that it is the evil people who hate the prophets, who want to kill them, who do not want to listen to what they say, because their intellects are not functioning. Give salawat to the Holy Prophet Muhammad and his family. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. So this is what a brother is. A brother is somebody who wants for his fellow brother or sister what he wants for himself. And not only this, but that brother tries himself on his own not to be dependent upon his brother, not to be a burden upon him. So even though that brother would go out of his way for his brother, he will try his best not to let his brother go out of his way for him. He will try his best not to be a burden on his brother. And indeed, one of the ways of distinguishing who is not a good brother are those brothers who are a burden upon you, who always want something from you, but never are there to give you something from themselves. Imam Ali alayhi salam says, the best of brothers is the one who does not let his fellow brothers need anyone other than himself. And in another hadith, he says, and even when he is in need of you, he spares you. He does not let you into the fact that he is in need. Now, how could this type of relationship be actualized? Seriously, how could it be actualized? Can I realistically have such a relationship with anybody who calls themselves my Shia brother? I mean, I look among you here, everybody here, you know, a lot of you guys I don't know, okay? Could I realistically put myself out of the way for you who I don't know? That doesn't make sense. That does not make sense. This type of relationship clearly requires some level of intimacy. It requires some level of intimacy, some close relationship between you. And there's a hadith by the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alayhi about that. He says, whenever you take a brother, you should ask him his name. You should ask him his father's name. You should ask him what tribe he's from. You should ask him where he lives. And this is, he says, part of brotherhood. Otherwise, it is just foolish love. That's part of brotherhood. Otherwise, it is just foolish love. In other words, what he's saying, when you ask that person his name, when you ask who his father is, you know, in those tribal societies, and even today, knowing a person's father, knowing a person's family, is very important in knowing who that person is, knowing where they live, knowing their neighborhood, knowing who they are, knowing what they do. This is very important in knowing somebody. In other words, he's saying you have to be familiar with a person. You have to be in a relationship, an intimate relationship with a person to be able to act like a brother like that. And if you don't do that, you just accept him because his name is Hussein. This is stupidity. And you go out of the way for him. And you don't know if he's going to go out of your way for you. This is stupidity. Imam Ali alayhi salam says, a man who takes a brother after careful selection is bound to have a lasting companionship and a firm affection. Whereas a man who takes a brother without careful testing is bound to the friendship of evil people. Now, brotherhood does not only, on this qualitative level, does not only exist on an individual person-to-person relationship. It could also exist on a group level. Take, for example, soldiers who are in a platoon or who are in a small company. They call each other brothers. There was a series on TV once called Band of Brothers, talking about a group of soldiers who were like a platoon or a company fighting in World War II. And in fighting with each other, in working with each other for common goals, they established a bond of brotherhood. What it indicates is that we need to encourage forming groups like this in our community. We need to encourage this. We need to encourage, for example, forming youth groups, forming women's groups, forming parents' groups, and things of that nature, where you have common goals and you could work together for these common goals. And out of this, you create a sense of brotherhood between each other. So it's not just your brotherhood with just one person. Of course, you would have a certain level of intimacy with that person, but as a group, you would have this. And this is something we lack. We lack. You know, there are few groups like this around. I mean, for example, the group AIM, a very, very good group. The AIM brothers and sisters would tell you that they have a good relationship with each other, a brotherhood, sisterly relationship with each other. Members of our community tend to sometimes put on camps. And this summer, for example, there are all kinds of camps happening. You know, Camp Wilaya, Camp UK, Camp Co-Edge, and so forth and so on. What do these camps do? Well, when they bring people together in such a concentrated time in one place, only for a short period of time, what happens out of this is people form sister-sister relationships and brother-brother relationships that are much more deep than they had for the rest of the year. Unfortunately, these camps only last a short time. Nevertheless, this relationship continues until the next year and so on. Could you imagine if something like this was happening on a regular basis? If, let's say, for example, A-level students among our community decided to form a group, you know, groups based on science, based on arts or what have you, and encouraging each other to perform, liking for your brother and sister what you like for yourself. You know, the smarter ones among us, the more studious ones among us, encouraging the lesser ones to be more studious and to work hard. What kind of beautiful relationship that could be, that such people so young could grow up to be older and to have strong connections with each other. These are the things that build our community. These are the things that build our community. And I tell you something, I think it's much better than taking a holiday in Pakistan with auntie and uncle and stuff like that. Because these are the people you live with every day. Every day. We tend to be too outward focused, brothers and sisters. We are a bunch of immigrants. Ain't nothing more than that. A bunch of immigrants who are always associated with outside. I have heard some people in my beloved Iranian community refer to me or to people like me as a foreigner, as a Khariji. You in England. You in England. And you're referring to me as a foreigner, as a Khariji? You know why? Do you know why? Because you're not in England in your mind. You're in England only in your body. You're in England only in your body. But your head is somewhere else. And this is one of the reasons why we do not exist as a community. Because you don't think like one. I'm not saying don't go to Pakistan. Huh? Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying you gotta have your priorities. You have to have your priorities. And our priorities are here. That's the first thing. And we have to build our community here. Yesterday I did not finish, but I was talking about the crisis in marriage in our communities. There are so many women in our communities who can't get married. Why? Because everybody wants to get married outside. Everybody's getting their sons married to their cousin or something like that in Baghdad or Tehran or something like that. The result being we have a marital crisis in our society. We have to start thinking local. We have to start thinking about this being home and not just some kind of cash cow where you could just milk and when you get your pension, you go and you retire somewhere else because the exchange rate is so good and live like a king. It's more than that. We have to carve out our niche in this place and assert ourselves, and you'd be surprised how fast and how quickly our community will grow with people who find true brotherhood among a community in an environment where brotherhood is dying out. Give salawat to the Holy Prophet Muhammad and his family. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. The fifth right that a mu'min has on his or her brother is an yuharrima ghaibatihi. To prevent or prohibit others from backbiting him. To prohibit others from backbiting his brother. And Allah says in the Holy Quran, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, وَلَا يُغْتَبْ بَعْدُكُمْ بَعْدًا أُحِبُّ أَحَدُكُمْ أَنْ يَأْكُلَ لَحْمَ أَخِيهِ مَيْتًا فَكَرَحْتُمُوهُ. Allah says, and do not backbite each other. Will any of you love to eat the flesh of his dead brother? You would hate it. This verse is talking about the reality of backbiting. The spiritual reality of backbiting is cannibalism. Is cannibalism. And what you are cannibalizing is the reputation, the social reputation of your brother. That's what you're cannibalizing. Because when you eat something, it sustains you. It gets you fat. It makes you strong. Or that's what you think. So when you are backbiting your brother, there is a joy in it. There is a pleasure in it. There is a growth, a negative growth in it. You're eating him. You are consuming his reality. And you're making yourself grow in the eyes of another person. It kills your brother because when you are speaking to the third party, you are poisoning that person's attitude towards him. So that when that person sees him, that person doesn't like him. He didn't see that negative thing about that person. But you have destroyed, you have killed that person in front of you. We're almost out of time, but I tell you this. Backbiting has been used by intelligence agencies to destroy movements. And if people are the students of history, if you read about COINTELPRO in the United States, COINTELPRO, counterintelligence program that was used by the FBI to destroy black militantism, to destroy the Black Panthers, to destroy the Nation of Islam, to destroy all those movements that were striving for justice in America, one of their biggest tools was using backbiting, was using rumor. So they would write a letter from A to B, talking bad about C, criticizing C, and let the letter fall into the hands of C. And C gets to hate A and B quietly in his heart. So when the chips are down and A and B are looking for C to back them up, C is nowhere to be found. This is what they do to have backbiting. And in this community, there's a lot of it. There's a lot of it. And we'll tell you all about it tomorrow, inshallah. May Allah open our hearts so that we could be lovers of each other. Brothers of each other. May Allah open our hearts so that we could be people who could fight against backbiting. May Allah open our hearts so that we could be generous with each other and to love for each other what we love for ourselves. And inshallah, Allah will give us a worthy community noted for its honor. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.